Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Guess what, internet? That's right. What? Jack's out. I'm in.
Shit.
Yeah, baby, you heard it. It's season 256. Episode three of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared, sordid consciousness. It is Wednesday. That is how I remember how to spell that every time without fail. Wednesday. You heard how I spell initiative. Mm. To spell initiative. Okay, it's all about those hacks. It's Wednesday, September 28th, the 28th, which means it can only be one day. That's National Women's Health and Fitness Day, World Dense Breast Day, National Drink Beer Day, National Good Neighbor Day, National North Cacophonic Day, shout out to North Carolina, and National Strawberry Cream Pie Day.
Damn.
Yeah. So shout out to all those. Okay. Letting you know.
I have dense breasts. This is my day.
It's all about breast density. That's what I was looking
at. It's all about,
like,
breast density. Yo. I have to go get them sonogrammed or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so breast. Okay. So if you got dense breasts, you got to really make sure, because from what I'm reading, can both hide cancers on a mammogram and also increases a woman's risk of developing breast cancer.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So every 6 months I go get a, what are they called? Where you pregnant women get them too?
Sonogram?
Sonogram.
Sonogram.
Yeah.
I get a sonogram. Scantron.
There it is.
Yes. Exactly.
Before we reveal who our dense-breasted guest is, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Miles Gray, the Lord of Lankershim, a.k.a. Hideo Noho out here. You know, throwing no-hitters with a blunt in his mouth, making it look so easy. You know what I mean? Shout out to the 818. And I am thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host, the brilliant DJ producer, Twitch streamer, host, podcast, raconteur, if I may say so myself. Please welcome to the stage, DJ Daniel Goodman.
What up, what up? It's DJ Daniel, a.k.a. Bowtie Mike Guy, a.k.a. Government, because you got to have these things.
Oh, you say
remember.
Government.
Yeah, you got to say government. Up there, government's up there as well. But yeah, happy to be here. I will also remember to take a picture with the bow tie on the mic this time, because people added me on Twitter.
Oh, well, nice. There you go.
I just added the bow tie to the mic, and I talked about it on last episode. Someone was like, okay, show bow tie. I was like, all
right. Oh, shit. I thought they were calling you a showboat.
No.
I see. But anyway, please, happy to be here. Please.
Please.
Can you, hold on.
Please.
Dan, can you clear the stage really quick?
Sure. I'm out.
Can you clear the fucking stage? Okay.
I'm out.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Because we have a fantastic guest, somebody who we love to have on this show. You may know her from, you know, TV, comedy, fucking podcasting, being out in the fucking streets as an activist. You might know her from Funnilingus, maybe. You might know her from the city council show. Please welcome to the stage, New York's very own Ellery Smith!
I love that you know I'm from New York. Yeah.
I remember you saying that. I remember you saying like way back you were like from like the New York nobody really talks about.
I'm from a small ass town near the Canadian border. 1,600 people.
Wow.
Still New York.
It's stuck.
Still New York.
Still New York fam.
Right. Because I think I remember being like, yeah, Ellery's one of those New York comedians. And you were like, I'm not really like I'm from the state of New York. Yeah. But I'm not a like city of New Yorker type person.
Boston is closer than New York City is to my hometown.
Oh, OK. So there it's very go. New yeah. Englandy. New England.
It's very New Englandy. Yeah. And when I do shows, I tend to do Boston instead of New York.
Interesting. OK.
Word up.
How you doing right now? How's new? What's new? I said, how's new? What's new?
How is
I'm new? Chilling, yeah. Living the dream, working a lot of day jobs, babysitting a lot is my new gig.
Fuck yeah.
So I'm open for any staffing opportunities if anybody's listening.
Yeah, very but... funny, very talented. Please do.
Having a good time, you know, loving LA.
Okay. How are you liking this fake ass fall we're having right now? People, too, the listeners fucking
fake
came
ass
for my ass. And also, yesterday, Dramos came for me because he's in New York. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like, I don't know if I'm ready for fall. Meanwhile, people in other states are like, summer was over like 7 weeks ago for us.
7 weeks ago. I'm never ready for fall. Actually, we'll get into it when we do over underrated, but I think fall is overrated.
Takes
are flying.
Wait, but Daniel, that's like when you come out, like you're out of your cocoon, I feel like. Because for you. I know you as somebody who is animated by the pumpkin spice.
Oh, you caught
so
me.
So I always think, honestly,
that's true.
I cannot separate pumpkin spice without thinking of you. So good
First
job,
of all,
branding.
I'm
that.
Honored by that. Thank you. You honor me for the
You're
pumpkin spice.
You're a PSL,
spice. You know,
lady?
Look, everybody's got to have something that they unabashedly stand for no reason whatsoever. And you know what?
Absolutely.
The PSL is the one. I'll stand for everything else that's good and pure in the world. But like, Hell I just got to get a sip of it sometimes.
I think that's great.
That's me and soggy fries.
There you go.
You know, I don't give a fuck. I'm out here.
That's me and onion rings.
You love onion rings?
I love onion rings.
Great. You like onion strings?
I do like onion strings as well. And I also love a bloomin' onion.
Oh. Ooh. So I mean, good. Those aren't really hot takes, I feel like.
Those aren't hot takes.
Who's
going to
be like, fucking
items.
Onion
those
rings?
Those are very popular items.
The soggy fries thing, people really fucking hate that shit. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I like wet matchsticks.
Are they thick fries or are they thin?
I don't give a fuck.
Just like
sloppy, they're flying in my mouth. And you could extract that, quote that, and put it on a plaque and use it for your shit post.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I am secure.
I'll be putting it on a tote bag for sure. Wow.
If it's sloppy, it's flying in my mouth. Now,
that's crazy. I'm shocked we haven't talked about that yet. I feel like I'm missing the boat on your soggy fry love. This is a new one for me.
That's why I like, because when people are like, yo, I fucking hate In-N-Out fries. I'm like, motherfucker, I tell them, give me light fries.
Light.
Which means floppy. Was like be like
it's not
potato
no well done for miles no well done
and I was just saying I was flop. In Seattle visiting some family and I went to Dick's, like their local burger spot up there.
Shout
their
out.
Fries are little thin floppies too, and I was like, baby,
they
I'm
they rock
here.
The thin floppy. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway,
shout
the
out
the size for me. I'm not a fan of the thin fry or the small fry, and I think In-N-Out tends to do too crispy. Like their default is a little too overdone.
Yeah. Right. All right.
Because they expect that people will put the sauces on them.
Yes.
No,
not for me either.
Dude,
I'm a traditionalist.
Dude, you get animal fries light, they're going to like call the cops on you. They're like, why are you eating this shit like this? You are
just raw potatoes.
Yeah. They're like, bro, we can just give you some potatoes and a dull night.
Get out of here. Leave.
But anyway, before we go down our track of usual questions, let's let the listeners know what we're going to be talking about. We're going to preview Coachella, as I call it, weekend two, because this is it. This is what they're saying. This is it. This is our last hearing. Unless we hear something weirder, but we'll talk about what they might be talking about and some other developments, as well as just, man, the fucking GOP, just the John Fetterman versus Dr. Oz thing is so stupid. I had to clap back on Newt Gingrich on Twitter. Not that I was.
Oh,
like,
that's my tweet for today, too. Is like, God damn it, guys.
What, the Newt Gingrich tweet?
Yeah, where he's like, why does Fetterman have a tattoo that says, I will make you hurt?
so good.
Well, look, there were multiple tattoos that multiple tweets that reference his tattoos. So we'll get into just like the saddest fucking like attacks from the right on John Fetterman having tattoos or wearing a hoodie, because that's where we're at. Like, they have nothing else in their quiver to fire in his direction. Then we'll probably get into some, you know, return of the Satanic Panic and why Netflix just can't stop fucking re-traumatizing serial killer victims
with
their stupid remakes. Spoiler alert, you know that Jeffrey Dahmer thing? It's not the only Dahmer thing coming out.
What?
Just so you know. Well, oh my just God. Put that in your pipe. Spark it yet. Maybe half it for later. And then we'll hit that fully in Act 3. But first, Ellery Smith from the small town of New York that's on the border of Canada. Please tell us something from your search history that's revealing about who you are.
This is not really revealing about who I am, but I did want to get your insight on it. I am looking for overnight parking at LAX.
Oh, okay. What you trying to do?
What's the best? I am actually going home.
Okay.
For like Congrats. 4 days.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. But when I come back, I land at 11. I have to babysit at 12 in the Palisades. Okay. So I can't take an Uber to the airport because then I would have to take 3 Ubers.
Right.
So I have to park overnight. What is the quickest way that I can get my car when I return that's also cheap?
Okay. Look, there's a few things, right? You can do quick park. You can do the parking spot.
You could do
the Sonesta Hotel that's on Century that has their own. I feel like the Sonesta, which used to be the Crown Plaza. Look, talking from an LA OG over here. The Sonesta has it's a little bit of ways, but it's pretty close to the. Why am I selling fucking offsite parking for fucking LAX right now?
Because I asked you.
You're right. And look, I'm not going to withhold this information. I feel like my family, we grew up using the Crown Plaza, which is now the Sonesta Hotel. They have like a parking facility near their off Century. A lot of people try Quick Park too. And I feel like that works as well. I mean, the biggest thing is like you should look at the ratings and just see how on point their terminal shuttles are.
That's exactly the thing that fucks people up.
Mm-hmm. You get there too close to your, or not too close, but like give yourselves like the ability for them to fuck up and not get your ass out of there for 45 minutes to an hour.
Yes.
Like build that in. Then you won't
be
stressed.
Well, the thing is I can't because I land at 11 and I have to work at noon. So 45 minutes.
Okay. I'm saying on your way out. On your way back.
Got it.
Typically, those are going pretty frequently.
Oh, okay. Sick.
And I think the other thing with the Sonesta one is because there's a cluster of hotels in, you could hop on one of them hotel shuttles you see that going over there. So you got options. That's how you got to think.
This has been great. This is really good insight. I'm glad that I said that.
The hotels are the big one. That's a huge bonus right there because of how close they get to everything else. Quick Park is good because they have the most shuttles, but also Lot C. Lot C is also a nice cheap spot that you can get to. It's like a tiny bit further out, but it is always available.
And they have shuttles.
And they have shuttles.
And you can prepay for that too.
Bam.
With new reserved parking from LA.
New reserved parking.
See, the city of LA already knows. They're like, he's a good steward of the city. He will broadcast.
Yeah, they
all
need
the
to run you a
deals.
Check.
Yeah, there's also, if you just search, there's like a website that aggregates like all the rates.
All
too.
Of the options.
You can just put in the dates that you need and you can get an idea what works for you. And I won't say that website because they don't pay me. And also, I'm so high that I forget a lot of website URLs. But yeah, good to know. What's something you think is overrated, Ellery?
We touched on this earlier. I think fall and winter are overrated.
Go on.
Go off.
In what sense?
They're nice for like a week. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
But I hate the time change. I hate the darkness. Night coming sooner. Mm-hmm. I love summer. And in LA, nobody works during the summer, basically. Mm-hmm. Everybody has summer Fridays. We're really sort of like a vacation culture. And so I just don't like, I don't know, it's like a back to school leftover feeling. But I feel like I'm always chasing summertime. Like by the time it's May, I'm like, yes, we're ready.
We're in it.
Yeah.
We're in it. And then around here, I'm like, sure, the leaves sort of change, but it's not like, I don't know. There's just more debris on the ground. That's really the only difference.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not. Daniel, how do you feel about these colder months?
You know, colder months is almost an exaggeration. We're talking like maybe a 10 to 15 degree drop in temperature at absolute most. And maybe instead of wearing a t-shirt, you wear a long sleeve shirt and God forbid a sweater. I will say,
what do you mean, God forbid? Motherfucker, well, I'll wear a North Face.
That's what I was about to say, is that like I look at my closet and I pray to be able to bust out a Letterman jacket or a literally anything.
This is the big West Coast, East Coast divide on this. Because yesterday our guest is a New Yorker. And I was talking about, oh, I love the cold. And he's like, basically like, you don't know the cold.
You don't know the cold.
The cold is Disneyland to you. You stop by that motherfucker for a day. You're like,
Yeah.
You don't live there where you slowly start losing your mind because you've seen Fantasmic every fucking night 3 times in a row.
Yeah. Where it's dark at 4 p.m. It's too cold to leave your apartments. It also doesn't get cold in New York the way that it used to when I was a kid. But I remember because at my high school, you had to cross the street for to go between buildings. Mm-hmm. And I remember being so cold that the earrings would freeze in my ears.
Oh, shit.
Or the snot, my nose would have icicles, painful, stinging
Dumb and
your
Dumber?
Skin cold.
That's so cool.
Yes,
Dumb and Dumber. So
cool. A post-nasal drip that freezes in there.
Horrible.
Just so
really
awful.
Really awful.
Or going outside with wet hair and having your hair freeze.
Would know that. Never. I'm bald, so try another angle. That's a win in my column still, although my bald head would probably freeze.
It's just
I keep saying this and I have to do, I really just need to do a cultural exchange with someone in the deep freeze and be like, look, bro.
Yes.
You stay in my
spot. But you have to go for more than a month.
Yeah. I want to know, be like, okay, motherfucker, you going to chop your wood too?
Yeah.
You get that stove going? I'll be like,
that's
know
legitimately
what
we did in my house. Right. We had a wood stove.
Yeah. My mom grew up in a really cold part of Japan. So going to certain parts of really cold winter Japan is the same shit where it's like, you gotta wake up, keep that fucking stove going in the middle of the night and shit, unless you want to wake up to some nonsense.
Frozen with all of your pipes frozen.
Right. And insulation isn't that big of a thing with older built homes there too. So I'm willing. I saw somebody who was come out to Winnipeg. I feel like one of the Zeit gang was like, okay, fool, come out to Winnipeg. Yeah, see what's up.
Come see
what's
up.
This motherfucker in his picture, all his shit was frozen on his face. And I'm like, okay, I'm down to try it. I feel like I would just smoke weed all day and be like, wow, look at the snow, man. That shit is cool.
we'll see. Times. Yeah,
we'll see. But yeah, it's the fashion. You know, it's the fashion.
It's the fashions. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. It is, again, this is definitely a Disneyland ass take, but I just want to wear the clothes I have.
I just want to wear my Mickey ears.
I just want to wear the Mickey ears and go out. Yeah. And
that is the funniest part about moving out here is that when it hits 65 degrees, people wear Canada Goose down jackets.
Oh, yeah. Fucking scarves and shit. Gloves. I'll never wear gloves. You'll never catch me wearing gloves.
Never.
My God, wait until you go to Winnipeg.
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying is that's my cold water, my cold weather Rubicon. I will not cross in L.A., which is to put gloves on. I'm like, that's
You'll
not.
Never need
unless I'm riding a
here.
Bike and it's really cold, fine. I'll do that to keep my hands warm. But it's the East Coast or places with actual winter. Mm. The gloves do come out.
Amen. Amen.
But yeah, I have to keep harping on fashions. All it took was a New Yorker to be like, damn, he's like, you look like a New Yorker. When I was in New York during the winter, and I was like, oh my God.
Okay.
All of a sudden, the Tims just emerged onto Miles' feet.
Yeah, I had tearaway shoes that revealed Tims underneath.
That's so funny.
And then started playing out of my fucking speakerphone.
Yankee fitted just emerging from the forehead.
Sticker still on.
Sticker still on, always.
Oh,
always.
my head turns to a Yankee fitted. what something you think is underrated, Ellery?
I think meaningless jobs are a little underrated.
Go on.
Yeah. So there's I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And obviously, there's something really soul sucking about a meaningless job.
Sure.
But I've worked a lot of service industry jobs while, pursuing.
Service.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I mean, Labor Day is all about us.
Yeah, yeah.
But
facts.
Working a job where you're allowed to burn bridges. I was a line cook and I walked out.
Fire.
I can't tell you how empowering that
is.
It's so special to literally just be able to be like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect your career at all because you don't want to work in whatever industry that is.
Yeah. It's that's the same feeling I had when I worked in radio. Cause I was like, I used to work at this radio station. I fucking hated my bosses. I'm like, these people are so far off the fucking mark with everything. I can't stand these fucking people. And I was like, I'm gonna fucking rage quit. I kept telling my fucking, I'm rage quitting out this motherfucker. Just wait. And then they're like, I don't know. You never know. And I had the same idea, which I would be like, what? So they can tell me I'm never gonna work in rap radio in Los Angeles again? I'm not even on the fucking air. What the fuck are you talking about? And then oddly enough, I'm working in audio, but I definitely had that same feeling where I was like, this is a job I could get the fuck on out. Like, I remember I got another job and I just said, yo, I'm out of here. And they're like, what about your 2 weeks? I'm I'm like, you can have it if you want, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm out of here. They kicked my ass out that day.
Wow.
They fucking marched my, they like, I was in the middle of saying goodbye to, I just told them, I was like, yo, I can give you 2 weeks. Like if that helps, you know, but I'm trying to really get out of here. And they're like, oh, okay, great. Next thing I know, security's like, hey, man, we got to escort you out the building. And I'm like, y'all are salty. But I loved it. I loved it. Because they had to pay me still for those 2 weeks.
You don't quit. Get the fuck out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was one. Funny. They're like, you could become a distraction.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Oh, yeah, okay. I bet.
Yeah, because I'm taking everybody with me.
Yeah,
because
everybody else walks out.
That's always my favorite. I'm not my favorite thing, but you know when you're at a job and like everybody's on the same page, like, my fuck this place. And like, you
that was my line cook job. Three people quit the same day and I was one of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
It was amazing. That's it was the best. And it was also one of those jobs where like, I started where it was near my house here, so I could just walk down. Mm. And I went in at like 4 or 5 a.m. But because I didn't deal with customers, I would go in so fucking stoned. Just so stoned.
Right.
And just like work my whole shift like that and be done at noon.
Burning the onion rings?
Oh, literally burning the tater tots. So, so bad. Mm-hmm. Extra, extra crispy. Mm-hmm. Fucking up burritos like nobody's business.
There you go.
It was great.
Fire.
Yeah.
The guy who ran our fryer sold mushrooms out of the back of that restaurant.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, I love that. What is this, the bear?
What is this?
No, I wish. Yeah. Not a cinematic.
Yeah,
nobody gets paid that much.
Holy shit. Yeah. We got it. Shout out to the people who all quit together. Yeah. You know what's wild though, too? I feel like there's a relationship to the shittier the job, the higher likelihood of you being friends with those people after you get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like,
forged in the fire.
You're in it together.
For real.
Exactly.
Like all my friends I wish to work with the radio, like I'm still super tight with them. And it's only a few jobs where like my old coworkers from a job, like I've had a few jobs since then that were still, you know, still tight. So
that's tight.
Shout out to bonding under cool
shout
conditions.
Out to bonding. Yeah, I had a kind of opposite experience with my time in the service industry. I worked at a t-shirt shop, which is kind of a different service, but I worked at a t-shirt shop and
heat
the t-shirt
pressing?
Shop closed.
Heat pressing?
Pardon me?
Heat pressing?
Just straight slang and t-shirts. Just slang and, you know,
already made. T-shirts.
Like Jersey Shore style.
Like Jersey Shore style.
Oh,
exactly.
I used to press them. I had a job
that's
pressing.
That's a whole other thing. That's tight.
Yeah, okay.
But the t-shirt shop closed and didn't even let me know. And I just showed up the next summer to be like, hey, so what's good? And the shop was just closed. Something else was there entirely. And I was like, oh, all right, that's tight.
They're like, nothing is good, homie.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
oh. They rage quit on me. They were just like, no,
man.
We're not even slanging t-shirts anymore. Go find another job. Go work
in
the battery
store. The
t-shirt
economy is fragile.
It is fragile. Let me tell you something. People did not want a t-shirt with a stack of flapjacks that said, I'm a hot mess on it. So,
alas.
I know. It's a little pad of butter with eyes on it. It said, I'm a hot mess.
Oh, okay. Hot mess.
Adorable. Adorable.
Yeah.
I wish I still had that t-shirt. I wish I still had that one t-shirt. Oh, well.
Is that on t-shirts that go hard?
God damn,
it should
be.
Okay.
I'll talk to Christy Yamaguchi Man or whoever runs that account.
Yeah, for real, for real. Okay. Let's see. I guess we'll take a break. Let's take a break and we'll be right back and we'll talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I hate to interrupt for a second because, you know, we live in a dynamic world. We're about to begin talking about the potentially final January 6th committee hearing. But quick update, because the world is in flux. The hearing has been postponed because of the hurricane. So just so you know, the, you know, when we say today, that hearing actually isn't happening, but I'm sure you know that by now. Okay, enjoy. And we're back. What's that? Coachella, Ella, Ella, Weekend 2.
Damn.
Has arrived. Today is the final hearing of the Fuckery Accountability Project, otherwise known as FAP. Most members have said that this is it. No more, at least in terms of presenting new information. So since the last hearing, we were all wondering, I think the big thing was like, what happened to all those fucking Secret Service text messages? Like,
hey, yeah.
That's dark as fuck. Literally. Are you serious? And since then, there's been like the IG of the Department of Homeland Security launched an investigation into the deleted texts. And then since then, apparently the Secret Service collected like 24 agents' phones and then handed them over to the Inspector General. So that information is has made its way to the committee. They said they're looking at like nearly a million pages of shit relating to calls and texts from them. It might not be as good as the shit that they were explicitly looking for, but I guess it provides additional context, whatever that means. Adam Schiff is really selling this last hearing with some very cool, vague language.
Oh, like, let's get it.
We're not disclosing yet what the focus will be. This is of the last hearing. I can say that, as this may be the last hearing of this nature, that is one that is focused on sort of the factual record, I think it'll be potentially more sweeping than some of the other hearings. Oh,
what a just a gray blob of a cell right there. Like, now I can't
like
say
a word
specific,
salad bar,
but it might kind of be good from a factual standpoint. So,
and it may be more sweeping than others, potentially. I love those user like potentially more to be like, and I don't know if it's not, then I'm gonna say, well, potentially had the potential to be.
This is so groomed after having so many hearings of like, gang, this is the one where we're going to get him. And after just hearing and hearing with different people, after your Comeys, after your Robert Mueller's, after your everything.
I didn't finish this quote, Daniel. Give him a break. 1 second. Let me finish the back half of this. But it too will be very thematic. No? Okay. How about this? It will tell the story about a key element of Donald Trump's plot to overturn the election. That's from 40,000 feet above. Go on. And the public will certainly learn things it hasn't seen before, but will also understand information it already has in a different context by seeing how it relates to other elements of this plot.
Oh, my God.
Bro, we get it. Like, we get it. We saw it. We all saw it. We know what the fuck happened. Like, nobody here. I get that you're also trying to build your case to potentially maybe sway some people, but the polling already shows most Republicans aren't fucked. They don't give a fuck.
They don't care. And I'm also like, if it doesn't result in a recommendation for charges, it's just a waste of money.
Well, like, that is the good thing. They all feel that they will probably most likely be unanimous in their criminal referral.
Yeah. Good.
So good. There's sure that.
There's that.
But again, like, the only thing that would come up even close to being like a bombshell at this point is like Trump on video, like doing a Zoom call with rioters in the building, telling them off.
That's what they're releasing today. Is I heard that they're going to talk about the phone calls that were made from the White House in like that missing time period.
Yeah.
And then I also heard Ginny Thomas is going to testify, or was that last
they
time?
They said that they believe, like, again, Adam Schiff was like, I believe we have an agreement. Or I think Jamie Raskin said that.
Fucking lawyer.
Yeah, Jamie Raskin. Raskin said that, who is truly a lawyer, and we really gave that sort of the description of where they were with that. But the clock is ticking for the committee, because as it stands, you know, if you look at polling and just sort of the projections of the midterm elections, potentially the Republicans could take the House, which means no more subpoena power. So the committee is really working to publish their final report before the start of the new Congress. So,
and Kevin McCarthy made it a point to be like, if I'm House Speaker, we're going to go after Democrats and like call you to some council or whatever.
Exactly.
Some investigation. Okay.
Which is an interesting motivating tactic when like there's like horrible things happening. Like, you're not going to take a look at the economy right now and be like, you know, the Fed's like, I think we need more unemployment.
Dude, it's like, what?
Huh? How about
I can't even like the fucking Fed. I'm like, what about price caps? What about that? Why don't we ever? But it's always like labor has to suffer. Dude, he literally said we need to bring wages down.
Yeah.
I could beat the shit out of that guy.
To say that like with a straight face.
With a straight face. And he's like, well, some people will have to suffer. Why is it always the people at the bottom that have to suffer?
Always. Well, I don't know them. That's why.
Exactly.
I know the
motherfuckers right now, at the top that have my phone number that are like, man, these broke motherfuckers are wilding out asking for fucking $20 an hour.
All I'm saying, this is a way better wrestling promo than whatever Adam Schiff is trying to do here with this. Oh, we might 100%. Actually do something. Yeah. I want the Ellery Smith, Kevin McCarthy, I'll beat the shit out of you. That's fun.
Well, I was talking about the Fed, Jerome Powell, but I will beat the shit out of Kevin McCarthy as well.
When this recession hits, people need to remember this is not because of people needing help in the pandemic or asking for wages or inflation.
But that's exactly how it will be.
But that's how they're framing
about.
It. That's the mainstream
Whereas,
media
like,
is. Yeah.
Is Spain is doing a temporary tax on the 1% to alleviate inflation.
Mm, yeah.
Which is exactly what we should be doing. And it's temporary. But, dude, the things that Reagan did to this country.
Yeah.
Facts.
You know, and I think, we're looking at a consistent sort of cycle of these like really bad faith stories and arguments where like the Fed says something and then economists, like you'll see like a economists believe that inflation is actually not because of that. It's actually because of, the fucking
the war in Ukraine.
massive profits that are being held onto and like manufactured scarcity to ink. Anyway, whatever. But the rest of it will be like, those motherfuckers had the gall to ask for more money. And again, this is a cycle you see. The labor will become powerful. You can manufacture a recession, fucking kneecap the movement and have another solid 10 or 15 years of people being so scared of asking for fucking raises because they just went through a recession that completely set them back. And
that they're happy to accept scraps.
Yeah.
Which is why mutual aid and solidarity are the two most important things that we can hold on to.
Mm. Yeah.
Amen.
I hope it's different this time around, but you know, you turn on any fucking channel and they're like, such just without critically thinking about anything. It's like, you know, and the increase in wages is really putting pressure on employers. Finish the fucking sentence, which is that what they will make. Show me in dollars and cents how much money, less money they fucking make. Because it's not that businesses still will be in trouble. No, yes. They fucking won't.
Record profits for everybody but labor.
Yeah. Nah. Miss me with all of that shit.
Yeah.
But again, please stay savvy, Zeit Gang, because what you like will read, and I know it was talked about in other episodes, like with NPR just being like, whoa, I don't know. It could be that these other really fucking non-issues that we're connecting to this
factors. Yeah, okay,
crisis. It's greed.
100%.
And we can't keep defaulting to like, oh, workers are asking for more. What we need to be asking is why are we just letting them fucking abscond with all this money every fucking time? That's where it is. Moving on. we got sidetracked there. I just do want to say this. Just speaking very quickly about accountability. In Texas, Attorney General Ken Paxton, who's a massive fucking turd, he has been, he's caught in all kinds of fraud schemes. He's been indicted. He's like trying to run from all kinds of charges, literally.
Oh.
Right now, he's being sued by a group of nonprofits that want to help help people get out-of-state abortion access. Mm. Like, they want to help fund that for people in Texas because their laws are so fucked up and backwards. So a process server, you know, like, has to show up to serve him the papers. And this guy pulls up to his house and he knocks on the door. His wife was like, he's not here. He's on a call. He can't. I gotta go. I'm like, but close the door on him. This dude's waiting a fucking hour because he's like, no, this dude's fucking here. And I will read this. This is a quote from the process server. Quote, I walked up the driveway. This is after he's been waiting. I walked up the driveway approaching Mr. Paxton and called him by his name. As soon as he saw me and heard me call his name out, he turned around and ran back inside into the house through the same door in the garage. Then his wife exited, got inside a Chevy truck in the driveway, started it, and opened the doors. A few minutes later, I saw Mr. Paxton ran from the door inside the garage towards the rear door behind the driver's side. I approached the truck and loudly called him by his name and stated that I had court documents for him. Mr. Paxton ignored me and kept heading for the truck. He basically then closed the doors, fucking drove off, and the guy was like, just so you know, I'm these papers right here I'm putting down. I'm serving your ass. You got served, honey. And the fucking cars peeled off, leaving the papers behind.
Oh, my gosh.
And his office is now being like, oh, my God. Great. You know, the thing is, we don't know. It's so wild out there. We don't know if some kind of violent extremist was trying to pull up to him, you know, and assault him with a manila envelope.
Incredible. You assaulted me by serving me papers, actually.
Yeah.
That's a good defense. I got to remember that for the future. Well, hopefully I don't have to remember that.
For when you get served with papers.
Yeah, exactly. When I get served with papers. Everybody remember that one. Well, I didn't want to get assaulted.
Yeah. You do that scene in Jackass where they did the paper cuts between the webbing of their fingers. And you're like, and that's what could have happened to me, my honor.
I did not need to be reminded of that right now. Now my thingies are hurting.
I'm sorry. I only speak in MTV references.
Jackass references.
Yeah, I'm a truly brain
dead
American
man. Well, there are
5
movies, so that's okay.
It's true.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, moving on just to Pennsylvania. The Senate race there between Dr. Oz and John Fetterman is just always, it's probably been the most entertaining race so far in the midterms. Just on the trending episode on Monday, we talked about how Newt Gingrich was like, why does Fetterman have tattoos that say, I will make you hurt? What is 9-inch what? And Johnny what?
Huh?
Everyone was like, what the fuck is going on? And dude, despite him being fucking thoroughly dragged on that tweet, he fucking came back around with another. He doubled down on it again. He tweeted, is Pennsylvania Democrat Fetterman's tattoo, quote, I will make you hurt, based on his ties to the Crips gang, as reported by the Free Beacon, or a reference to the Nine Inch Nails heroin song Hurt?
Heroin song.
Fetterman won't answer questions. I replied to him just with a picture from the rehearsal of Nathan Fielder's son saying, you're a fucking disaster,
disaster.
What are you talking about? That's the Crips gang?
I'm also like, you cheated on your dying wife, which is worse.
Yeah.
Facts.
First, your first wife, you said too ugly to be first lady.
Oof.
Then you put wasn't that the same wife? He said, oh, you're on your deathbed battling cancer. I'm trying to marry my mistress legit.
Mm.
Can you sign these papers, please?
And that's exactly what he did.
And a lot of people pointed that out, I think, because they're like, dude, what you're a fucking scumbag, fool. Like you're not, you had to resign from the speakership because of your infidelities. And it was just such a distraction. But anyway, that's him. So I think for a lot of people now, it's like really clear the races between a normal dude that is relatable to the voters in Pennsylvania and the most whack ass, uncool, buster ass, mark ass poser. And at first, you know, Oz thought he could fat shame himself to victory when he was like, well, why'd this guy have a stroke? Because he's all big probably and eats like crap. And people were like, what the fuck is that?
What are you talking about?
Then he started doing those terrible like attack ads. All those things fucking backfired spectacularly. And now he is trying to like attack that John Fetterman isn't like a whack ass boring dude. I'm not sure what this take is, but this is him on some radio show talking about how this dude wears like Fetterman's got a costume, like it's just an image, and like people need to be real up on like what he's really trying to tell people with his fucking looks. It's all a message.
He's making him sound so kicking authority in the balls sounds so cool.
It does sound
push
really
back
cool.
On the costume a little bit, because it's an interesting phenomenon. I was stunned by it as well. But it turns out that if you're a far left radical with the belief that this country is irredeemably stained, you just want to break it apart. Just bust America, crack it to its base, break it asunder, and rebuild it with your toxic ideology. That's what he stands for. When he dresses like that, it's not an accident. He's kicking authority in the balls.
Yeah.
He said, hey, I'm the man. I'll show those guys who's boss. I'm going to not allow any traditional path to succeed, because by breaking some parts of it down, I can break it all down.
Okay.
Great.
Huh?
Sounds so cool and tight.
It's honestly, not an accident.
Cool. Yeah.
He's kicking authority in the balls.
In the balls.
That's awesome.
That's you know a great tag.
John Fetterman already, he's selling merch that says John Fetterman kicking authority in the balls.
Fuck yeah.
I'm getting
his campaign is so
they're like, bro, you good. Owned, you self-owned again.
Again and again.
What is his take exactly?
Well, I think for Oz, he wants to make Fetterman seem like an extremist. And because the real problem Oz has been having in that campaign is that he is not an everyman. And like he is so disconnected from the working person's experience and Fetterman is not. But it's been really refreshing to see the way that the Fetterman campaign is just like so modern. And it's so good in the fact that it's leaning in to a lot of the things that like you see other more traditional Democrats try to lean away from.
Yeah. And his like rhetorical Aikido with attacks, where he's like, bro, you can try and use that against me. Watch me take this and fucking turn this right back at you. And now I've raised $1 million off your dumbass fucking quote.
It works so much better when it's genuine, too, because you look at the kind of like the dark Brandon stuff with Joe Biden and it just like feels super hacky and whack. But when you are a genuine candidate like Fetterman is, it plays so much more real. And it's just very much taking the attack and turning it into something positive, which is just like, which is nice to see. It's a good change in politics. And it's a good move for someone who is genuine from the start.
Well, that's what I feel like. That's what kind of is going on, right? Like we're at this generational shift where boomer shit doesn't work anymore. And they're all confused. They're like, what the fuck? This shit used to be popping 20 years ago, 40 years ago. We could waltz into a fucking election win with these really dumb takes and really like just overly simplified arguments, not have to argue policy. And now people will be like, yo, motherfucker, you're stupid. What the fuck? Crudité. And they're like, huh?
Oh, my God, that video.
And like they're fucking melting down to the point that all Newt Gingrich has now is like the Crips gang. Motherfucker, you sound like the old chain emails from AOL.
Literally.
From like our aunts that were like, don't sit on a movie theater seat.
If somebody flashes their headlights at you in traffic.
Oh, no. Exactly. Don't pull over.
Don't pull over.
Someone put a dirty heroin needle on a theater seat. Always check. And it said, welcome to the world of hepatitis. Like that kind of shit. And like, same thing with the fentanyl, too.
I was just going to say, it's like rainbow fentanyl.
Rainbow fentanyl. We're like, bro, everybody has done drugs enough to know like.
That's not what, how it works.
You're talking to a different generation now. Like,
completely.
If anything, you like, if speak to how fucking nihilistic we all feel. Like, you might win off of that. But I don't think they get that quite yet.
No.
But to go on, Kellyanne Conway also decided to throw her little hat in the ring and be like, okay, fuck it. We can't hit them on policy or anything that makes sense or is coherent. Let's lean into the this guy thinks everything's cool and a joke. Well, that's not the case. Here is Kellyanne Conway also cool helping joke. Out the discourse.
In his life, Sean, he hasn't worked a day as lieutenant governor. He put the marijuana flag up. He thought that was funny. He's trolling his opponent. He thinks that's funny. Here's what's not funny.
Okay.
That there's been a doubling of overdose deaths in Pennsylvania while he's been in office from 2015 to 2021. Fentanyl is rankling every corner of the state.
Rankling?
Okay. All right. All right.
I've never heard rankling before. Also, what's the marijuana flag? I missed that one.
It's a pot leaf, right? On a flag?
I guess.
A green pot leaf on a black flag? That's what I'm assuming.
I guess so.
Yeah.
You guys aren't stoners like I'm a stoner. You don't get it.
I'm behind.
To me, it's like, all three of us are pretty much are equally heavy in the game. And I think,
for sure.
What would you even conceive of as the marijuana flag? I mean, I guess, like, to your point, it would just be like a fucking weed leaf. But even then.
It sounds like a fish concert.
I don't know. Like, she has like annoying stepmom energy. Like, you know what's not funny, guys? All the overdose deaths. And I'm like, okay, well, let's be real about it. Do you know what those are? Those are despair deaths.
Deaths of despair. Absolutely. They're deeply tied to capitalism.
What are you
and let's
doing?
Talk, if we're going to talk about overdose deaths, let's talk about the Sackler family. Let's talk about the opioid crisis. Let's talk about businesses that are able to claim bankruptcy so that people who sue them and want restitution can't get any.
I just wanted to mainly just say, simplify all of that to say John Fetterman killed all those people. I'm sorry. That other stuff is a little too real for this debate at the moment.
I want to pull her hair so bad.
I really do. I do.
I just want to like use like a old school bellows, like those little like air, and just, I feel like she's so off balance. Like one good bellows,
blow her away.
We are setting up a really good title card for the Ellery Smith versus the World wrestling match.
I guess
stoked.
I'm feeling it today. Yeah. Typically, I'm a pacifist, sometimes these
people. That'd be a sick T-shirt.
One night only.
T-shirts.
One night only.
You make it look like an old school wrestling tee, like graphic tee.
Yeah, all the faces.
Yeah,
but that would be sick.
Your name in like diamond letters.
Yeah. Oh, like with the reflective. Mm-hmm, yeah, like the old No Limit album covers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All praise and respect. The origins of those. That aesthetic. Okay. Shout out Nolia Projects. Okay, we'll be right back after this to talk about some dark shit after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus. Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And I think these two things probably tie together. But first, I just broadly want to talk about just the satanic panic, how much that's really coming back. I mean, we always talk about how that's like always like a simmering thing that is willing to prop back up. But right now, like we just have... It's really, really potent, especially with all the QAnon nonsense that we're seeing and how much like Donald Trump is like leaning into it and hearing more of his followers like talk about how it's like it's not just politics anymore. It's like, no, like there's something really evil about Joe Biden, and it's not the creeping forces of capitalism. It's something a little more spooky. And right now there's like people were freaking out about that fucking Danny DeVito cartoon where he's playing Satan. Like, oh, God. Where people were like, I don't, it's like, this is just too much. Who was it? I feel like it was Mike Johnson, the congressman from Louisiana, said, I'm just so disturbed by it, and said, I'm wondering how many kids are exposed to that.
This is so bold.
That's what I like, these people are so artless, so without culture, yes. So like without, I don't know, joy or experimentation.
Right. Yeah.
And you, I'm and like,
they need more Rico Nasty in their lives. That's all I'm going to say about
they
that.
They need more Rico Nasty in their lives, for sure. Yeah. Or Mickey Avalon, whatever. However you want to do it.
However you want to do it. Just get a little bit more culture in your life, please.
Just get fucking weird, y'all. And then, like, even, like, in our popular culture, right, there's, like in, I guess, in 2018, Riverdale had, like, a season-long arc, like, D&D thing that was, like, killing people, which is, like, very much, like, in line with, like, those 80s conspiracy theories, like with teen deaths.
So boring.
And many were like, yo, this is, like, irresponsible because you're, like, giving credence to something that was, like, total bullshit anyway. And then even Stranger Things, we saw it again where, like, the D&D players themselves were, like, being the focus of, like, all the people in the town, like, with their, like, pitchforks and shit. Like, we gotta find this, like, D&D group. Which I think was a little more realistic, like, to things that had actually occurred. Mm. But, like, even on Peacock, they just greenlit a show called Hysteria. And it's a, quote, coming-of-age thriller set during the 80s satanic panic about a metal band accused of murder.
Ugh.
And
the West Memphis Three.
Right? Like, what are we saying with these? Or is it trying to just kind of help because it's, like, front of mind? Like, there's another show called My Best Friend's Exorcism. Which is like a fucking, I think, a cool, fun show, also set during the 80s satanic panic. And then there's like this other one. There was this story about this teenager who passed away whose diary was altered to include the words like cattle mutilation and conversations with the devil and was published.
Okay.
Which helped inspire like this whole 80s freak out is being turned into a staged rock opera next year.
Shut up.
Yes. Yes.
This is reminding me of like one of the classic memes of the show where we talk about how it's like when Democrats are in power, vampire movies are popular. And then when Republicans right. are in power, zombie movies are popular. It's like, what phase are we in where all of a sudden satanic? Is it some sort of like obsession with death? Is it the nihilism thing where it's like, no, well, the
Satan
devil's coming for all
be big,
of us?
Baby.
I guess
Satan
so.
Will always be
it just
big.
Feels like so much.
I do think Satan will always be big. And then also I think it's like a combination of like a nostalgic lens, right? So we're turning backwards on a lot of our stuff, looking at the 80s in sort of a nostalgic way, because now the children of the 80s are old enough to be making
these
things.
The people in development roles.
The people in development roles. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And then also it's like, as the country diversifies and moves away from like traditional Christianity or Protestantism, if that's the word, there's like, I think, a subconscious backlash and wanting to hold more tightly to those values. And so conservative Christians or evangelicals are mobilizing themselves, are so worried about their way of life disappearing that they're going twice as hard, even though there are fewer of them ever than ever. Yeah. And there are fewer of them than there are of us. But for some reason, their like rhetoric gets to take center stage.
Yeah, right. And like Satan is just like a really tidy thing, is a really good, efficient word for y'all know something's going on. Right?
Yeah. For chaos. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's it. And you can just say Satan. And for them, they're like, yep, It's not our cruel fucking world.
I was about to say, I mean, that's so much easier than being like capitalism. Do you know what I mean?
Because, dude, I even just, my ears have shut off right there. And I'm sorry, Ellery, and I totally agree with you. But I wish you had said Satan. And I would have like, go on.
Actually could not hear
Satan
what you were saying.
Satan is keeping your wages low. Maybe that's all we need to say. Satan keeping your wages low. Oh, man, did you? You had a family member go bankrupt because they needed a treatment for cancer? You know who that was, right? Yeah, the immigrant. No.
Nope.
Oh. Satan. It was fucking Satan.
It was Satan.
And you know what we need to do, comrade in Christ? Is we need to get together, you know, like the disciples did, and fight back. But I think, yeah, like to your point, there is this like confluence of like it's nostalgic for people that are, who like experience that in a time where they might not have been as critically thinking as they could have been, or just because of their like, you know, naivete or youth. They're now the adults with families, and it's like also the perfect time to weaponize that nostalgia, because it's immediately like, oh yeah, I remember when like everyone was all freaked out back then. And now we're seeing that completely, like, you just see it evoked, like Satan's name is like evoked at these town hall meetings, you know, like where parents are like, and I believe it's really something satanic because my child learned about a bisexual person yesterday. I think that's Satan. And it, again, also allows for people to have like this weird moral overreaction to something that is like even in that joke of an example, the existence of a bisexual person. By, you know, trying to look that through a lens of like demonic shit, it's like, oh, right. Okay, the stakes are so high to try and disenfranchise people.
It's also so interesting how, like, if you were a godly person or believed in like godliness, how far away like the groups that purport to practice that sort of thing are from the actual teachings of the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, if I think about, I mean, I grew up totally secular, but like, you know, I work at a church on Tuesdays. And so I'm around a lot of that stuff. But like, for me, I'm like, okay, where's the giving back? Right. Like, where's the martyrdom? Where is the kindness? Where is like the willing to see anybody's suffering as your own suffering? I see none of that. Yeah. I see none of that.
Yeah. I think, which is funny, because I went to like K through 12, some kind of religious school. And the way like a lot of these modern evangelicals are just like Christians who are just completely all in on discriminating people and like ignoring anything that's in the Bible. Like it's almost like they look at their position as like, yeah, like someone inheriting wealth. They're like, yeah. Like older Christians and Christ had to do that shit. And now we're here to just like take it all in, baby.
Take it all
as Christians. This is ours now without the fucking hard work of like charity or empathy and things like that. Because I do, you know, I was told in school, grace from God means God's riches at Christ's expense.
Yeah.
As you're always hammered into your head. But I think these people really just feel like, yeah, that's not as essential now for this other version of Christianity, which is like a definition of what like the status quo is for society. And like, that's where it's completely...
Is it also
not a bit pear-shaped?
Is it also kind of like I feel like as, you know, religion in general becomes a little bit more dissipated throughout society. There's less religious people, more and more, that we're also kind of boiling down what is left into these very concentrated tomato pastes of religion, where, you know, regardless of like the teachings of it, it's about these kind of like very, very deeply set in groups that are just holding on to whatever is left as much as possible and like spewing it at every possible opportunity. And it's like, we're just, you know, not hyper focusing, but it's like, that's just becoming so much louder and louder from these tighter and tighter sects that it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's,
I mean, it fits perfect though with like our hyper partisan atmosphere, because just,
right,
as a just organized religion on its face is us versus them.
Yeah.
So if you're already active in a, like, if that version of a religion that's truly like it's us versus them, then yeah, it's really easy to get those people animated and energized to do shit, because they're like at a low hum of like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's such a motivated voting block.
Yeah.
Like you could, there's no equivalent on the left.
Mm. No, no, no. But, you know, and that's what's hard is like, because those people on the other side are like, yeah, man, Satan. It's like, fuck, man, we need something so dumb and everyone can get around, like,
dude, Satan.
But people are like, well, I'm an anarchist. They're like, yeah, I know. And you, I know. And you are a democratic socialist and you're a fucking lib and like, fuck. Okay.
It's tough to lead a broad coalition because it's broad, like in its definition.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with like people who have very specific ideas about what should happen, where most people on like the right, they're the most specific they get is like Christianity is the default and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton will go to Guantanamo. Thank you and good night. Oh, healthcare? Didn't think about that.
Didn't actually think about that one.
My brother in Christ. Okay, let's keep this conversation going, because I just do want to touch on Netflix because of our dark fucking obsession with true crime. The new Netflix like Jeffrey Dahmer show is fucking huge right now. It's like number one as I look at it, the charts, beating Cobra Kai, which maybe Cobra Kai, if you have more vile serial killers in your show, maybe you would be number one, but that's another conversation. But also, it's really being I've seen the most criticism come from many families of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims, who have publicly stated like they were never contacted by anyone at Netflix, and just find the whole thing very cruel and re-traumatizing, because like, have we not heard, like we've heard so many of these stories so many times that it's just like, again, one of the, this is a quote from one of the cousins of a victim said, quote, so when they say they're doing this with respect to the victims or honoring the dignity of the families, no one contacts them. My cousins wake up every few months at this point with a bunch of calls and messages, and they know there's another Dahmer show. It's cruel. Like, they just know the only reason people would start reaching out to me out of all of a sudden is because they want to know about someone in my family that was horribly murdered. The sister of one of the victims, who you've probably seen this clip of, like, some people have been like, wow, the Jeffrey Dahmer thing is so accurate. Look at this side by side of this woman giving testimony and the Netflix show. You can barely tell. Well, that was the sister of one of the victims. And she was saying, it feels like I'm reliving it all over again. Quote, when I saw some of the show, it bothered me, especially when I saw myself. When I saw my name come across the screen and this lady saying verbatim exactly what I said, if I didn't know any better, I would have thought it was me. Her hair was like mine. She had on the same clothes. That's why it felt like reliving it all over again. It brought back all the emotions I was feeling back then. And this is like the same thing happened with the Ted Bundy film. Again, like other people were like, God, like, why did they fucking Zac Efron? Like, that was a really fucked up thing to be like, because people were like saying like, oh, my God,
he's dead.
Ted fucking Bundy can get it.
Wow.
Like, what? And it does shift like the way we talk about all of these things and completely just go to
it becomes
like,
pretend. It becomes play.
Yeah.
100%.
It becomes entertainment fodder.
Yeah,
it's really the true crime industrial complex. Like, I mean, I listen to some of the podcasts, but like,
yeah,
this is my tinfoil cap moment.
Mm. OK,
I'm like, true crime. They want us to be afraid of our neighbors. They want you to be so afraid. It's like, why you listen to a true crime podcast and all of the ads are for like Simply Safe.
Yeah, right.
Well, like they're weaponizing how unsafe you feel. They're weaponizing, you know, the fact that there could be monsters everywhere, so that you feel less connected, you don't know your neighbors, you have less of a community, And then also on top of that, it's like the commodification of somebody else's actual trauma, like the worst thing that ever happened to them. Now Netflix is making millions of dollars on that and they see nothing.
Yeah, right. And it's funny too, because that whole idea of like feeding people fear, I think it's like it's just the environment is ripe. Like they're already, people already feel uncertain and already Absolutely. Do feel fear for and a number so of reasons.
We're utilizing that and we're turning it up.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, you're like, I don't know if we made it on the show or we referenced like how, you know, there's going to be like Ring Nation, which is all Ring camera footage.
Yes. So
that's like a collaboration.
I will never put one of those in my home.
Wild.
I don't do Echoes. I don't do Google Home. Like, fuck off with that. Miss me with that completely. I don't care.
And that one again was wild because in an interview we found out Wanda Sykes worked for the NSA. So it's like, she's the host.
Wait,
she's the
say
host
more,
of
say,
the show.
Say more about that. What? Say more about that.
Wanda Sykes was like a contract specialist for the NSA for the first 5 years of her professional career and had a security clearance and is no longer in the NSA. But Wanda Sykes was in the NSA for 5 years.
Whoa.
She's like, I did mostly paperwork. She was very like dismissive. And I'm like, hold on, you're hosting the op show on Ring Nation on Amazon. Like, yeah, it all comes together in a very shocking way. But anyway, to your point, we're already feeling this like level of uncertainty. So to have shows that are just kind of like regurgitating back to us, like to your point, does keep us more separate. Because I don't think anybody watches a show about serial killers. Take a walk at night. I challenge you. Watch some fucking gory fucking true crime shit. Go outside with no phone and take a walk in the dark for an hour and tell me if you're going to look at your surroundings as like, oh, it's a nice time at night. You're going to be like, where the fuck is this motherfucker?
Yeah, exactly. Where am I going to get jumped out from?
Yeah. Like, that's what's going to give like those momentum or those thoughts a lot more momentum. And to your point, like people talk about just how we watch Netflix has possibly contributed to why we're like watching gorier shit.
Yeah.
This is from a professor of media and culture at Syracuse. Says the focus may have to do with the fact that viewers often watch Netflix in more private ways and settings than they do traditional television. That can help the service achieve for shows about killers what ebook readers did for 50 Shades of Grey. Plain brown packaging by way of the company of the red envelope. In other words, he said violence fits the delivery vehicle.
Interesting.
You can catch
that's
that shit
so
anywhere.
Interesting.
You don't have to be like, yo, I gotta go, blah blah blah. Like, oh, I know what you're going to go watch right now. It's Thursday at 9:30. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watch your murder shit.
Right.
But you can do that in bed. You can do that on the toilet. You can do that on the fucking train. Whatever. Right. And then he goes on to say, "quote If you look at television history, there's often a mirror effect. In the early days of TV, in the days of I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver, families would gather in the living rooms to watch shows about people who gather in their living rooms. And now we're people who sit huddled alone, looking a little creepy." Watching people who are huddled alone, looking a little creepy.
Wow.
So it is a very, it's like this like unintentional but intentional loop effect too. And then you couple that with Netflix's fucking algorithms and shit. And they're like, why the fuck should we stop? This shit is popping. People fucking like this.
Yeah.
And like, just to kind of touch on the marketing around all of this, like Netflix has done a terrible job again for them being like, we're trying to put the victims at the forefront. You know, that's why we do this. We're not just trying to glamorize Jeffrey Dahmer.
If you
early on in the show, the first episode, there's a police detective who's sitting opposite Dahmer's father, like after Jeffrey Dahmer's been arrested. And he's talking about all the shit they found in Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment. And he's like reading it off. He's like, we found like two hearts, like a genitalia, torsos, heads, things like that. And the director obviously makes a choice to, as this is being said, to show all of these things and make the fucking audience feel like, oh, fuck, like this is so fucking bad. But if you again, like a lot of people ask, like in this Vice article, they're saying like, if you're really trying to think of the victims, that's you're going to just show people's lopped off body parts and stuff and be like, yeah, we're trying to think about the victims. And then add
I'm
to
also
that,
like,
yeah, go ahead.
That's a wonderful PR statement, but if that's true, run them their money.
Run them their money.
Give them a cut. Like if you're trying to put victims first and think about how it affects them, there is a very tangible thing that you can do, and there's a dollar amount attached to it.
Well, we were just trying to simplify that down to a nice soundbite, so then we could avoid any further nuanced discussion of something.
Yes, but, of course they were.
But check out their body
talking
part.
Talking like this, we're not going to have you on our Netflix post streaming show.
Fuck.
Can you imagine you get on a reaction show for Netflix and you're like, hold on. Can we really talk about this? They're like, fuck, she's going off again.
God damn it. And this is why I'll never make it big. This is why I'll never make it big. Can't keep my tongue inside my mouth.
Get Kaylee Cuoco on. But again, like, even the PR, right? It's been fucking really grim. There's a tweet that is showing a clip from the show. Like, when the cops were like, when Jeffrey Dahmer is being led off by the cops, when a black woman is trying to get help. And the way they talk about this is, quote, this is the Netflix tweet. Can't stop thinking about this disturbing scene from Dahmer, where one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims finally manages to escape, ellipsis, and the police actually bring him back inside the apartment. Now on Netflix.
Fuck off.
They're like, what? It's really shocking to you again, because Jeffrey Dahmer, a lot of people talk about, it's his whiteness is what allowed him to prey on these like people of color and these other marginalized people without being stopped. Not like being like, yo, for real, right? I'm today years old when I found out about Jeff. Like, shut the fuck up. For real, this is all bad. And like I said, this isn't even the only Jeffrey Dahmer thing that Netflix is putting out this year.
No way, the other one is also Netflix?
This year.
Bro.
Yes. Bro. The third installment of Conversations with a Killer is focused on Jeffrey Dahmer. So, like, they're like, we ain't fucking hitting the brakes on this shit.
Dude.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Netflix Pride account is like, you've got to watch it.
Yeah, it was exactly. That was the other thing. They put it on the Netflix fucking Pride channel and people were like, what?
Do you not see? Do you not see? How tone deaf do you have to be, honestly? Yeah,
it's Netflix. You know, they've made their decision. They're like, all in on the goonery. Like, you know, we'll side with the center, right, far right, when it comes down to it. So
yeah, so true.
They say themselves.
Netflix is a joke. Social media marketing for Netflix is a joke. Yeah. Netflix, if you're hearing this, I think you're great. But I did do social media marketing for a company, like, gosh, in 2020, and they wanted me to do an MLK Day post, and so I pulled some quotes and I put something together, and I sent it to the client, and the client came back, and they were like, oh no, we don't want to quote him. That would be too divisive.
Oh, word.
Wow.
And I was like, oh.
Can you put a rainbow flag behind it?
Holy shit. Dude, that's exactly what they wanted, for real.
Wait, what did you say? That they wanted what?
Just like a picture of him. And then like some quote about like, today we celebrate, instead of, you know, talking about the things that he actually did. Because they didn't want to be quote unquote divisive. Their actual language. That's what they said.
Sick.
Wow.
Wow.
That is fucking wild.
Like, I mean, like, it's just so every company, and this is, again, relates back to capitalism, but like to co-opt the language of a movement, to act like you support the movement while actively hurting the movement is just a real
triple-level op shit.
It's a real three-peat. It's a home run. It's incredible.
It's a big old
trifecta of fuckery.
That's
fun. Like, I can't imagine, like, you put the MLK quote, and he's like, the evils of capitalism are as real as the evils of militarism and the evils of racism. And you're like, ooh.
And he was right.
Buy shirts really at the Gap.
All that stuff? They're like, yo, you didn't know what he was. Right. Oh, shit. Well, Ellery, thank you so much for joining us today on the Daily Zeitgeist. It's always a pleasure when you're on. Where can people find you and follow you and check you out?
Yeah, you can find me at Ellery Smith on Twitter, Ellery_Smith on Instagram, and InfoWhores on TikTok.
Hey, what's InfoWhores about?
InfoWhores, that's just my TikTok handle? Yeah, this is my handle. Yeah.
You doing anything interesting, or that's just you?
No,
lit handle.
Maybe I will. I just got the handle, whenever I got TikTok, maybe 4 years ago.
Smart.
And I
never, okay.
So you just sometimes.
Lurk? You lurk?
I just lurk. I mean, I post stand-up clips here and there, but
okay.
I'm not technically savvy, so. Tough.
No, I'm just a grandfather millennial. I'm like, y'all do the TikTok. I'm gonna watch from here though. I'm gonna watch from the porch.
Well. It's so advanced.
And then I'm like, these kids good.
They're so
like,
they're
good.
Really good. They're so native to the editing and stuff. Yeah. I'm so bad at it.
It's so wild too. How like it started. Like for me, I was like a video like camera nerd kid, and I was nerding out on like iMovie and Final Cut and shit like that. But you had to have access to that shit. And now all that shit's in camera and everybody's like, and I'm like, damn.
So how do you do the transitions?
It's nuts.
Yeah, I spent time on that shit.
Too much.
Not me.
But you know what? I'm not mad at it. You know, I love to see progress.
I'm dumb and I'm not very detail oriented. And so Twitter is a lot better for me, I think.
Yeah, right. For sure. And Ellery, what's a tweet or some other work of the social medias you fucking with?
Okay, well, I did pull up the Newt Gingrich tweet that I was going to talk about, but we already talked about it today. So, oh, this was a deleted tweet, but it's by one of my favorite accounts, Hello Cullen, at Hello Cullen. I believe his full name is Cullen Crawford. Mm. Italy going fascist means making fun of Italian people just went from being fun to important.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit. DJ Daniel,
yes, sir.
On the ones and twos, where can people find you and follow you and check you out? And also, thank you for coming through.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I might see you in a couple days. Yeah. You can find me all over the internet, DJ underscore Daniel. This is coming out on Wednesday, so I'll be live on Twitch tonight doing all sorts of dumb shit at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
At twitch.tv/DJ_Daniel. And I got a couple tweets that I think are funny. One of them is from Zay at It's Zay OK. How much are tickets to the Rihanna football concert? Because I'm going to have to go.
The
other one is a great one. There's a whole genre of Twitter meme where it's like a bunch of fake, it looks like a real tweet conversation, but it's all fake tweets. And it's termite Twitter scares me. And it's a picture of a termite saying, let's eat Jerry's house. Looks delicious. And then five termites saying, okay. Mm-hmm. Love.
I thought that was real.
I thought it was too. Like at first I was like, that's funny. Like I like that there's a network of people who be pretending they're termites on Twitter.
I wish.
That warms my heart more than even it being a good Photoshop. I'm like, shout out to the people who are just cosplaying as termites on Twitter. Like, love to see it. We need to do that, actually. Like, live that out. Be like, hey man, activate your termite account.
Yeah,
too,
get your termite scout going. Let's go.
Yeah, we're going.
Could you imagine? Yeah, and you have like 1 million termites. And everybody's like, okay. Yeah, like lead termite, and everybody's like termite number 3, 4, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5.
Anyway, protect your wood houses
and your neck.
And your neck.
Obviously.
What do termites do to your neck? Oh, I see. Never mind. Cancel that.
Leave it in. Love. We're teaching hip hop lessons every day.
No, I knew what it meant.
I know. It was a grand moment. We all loved it. Let's see some tweets that I am liking. First one is this is from Ann Gregory at Ann the Greg tweeted. Type of car with the worst drivers? I'll go first. White Teslas. And I'm like,
true.
I didn't even think about it, but I'm like, yo, I think you might be right. Definitely whoever got the white seats. You fucking around.
You're fucking around.
And you got the white Tesla seats. I'm like, hey,
what are you doing?
My friend, how do you do that? Another one, Nina at Nina Growal or Nina Growal 97 tweeted, people being rude when they're drunk is weird to me. The minute a drop of alcohol touches my tongue, I start telling my friends how much I love them. Making speeches, trying not to cry, the whole fucking works. Yes, I love it. Yeah. And then Sally's Groove at Celia R. Gooding tweeted, sci-fi is when your mom
amazing.
Oh man. Anyway, you can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me and Jack on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. That's our basketball podcast. Or find me with Sophia Alexandra on the 90 Day Fiance podcast for 20 Day Fiance, where we will be higher than you could ever be.
Banger.
And you could be jealous. You can also find that on twitch.tv/420dayfiance.
Oh, word?
Check out the tweets and shit
Twitch
to see that. And then also, obviously, find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Thank you, sir. Where we post the song we ride out on today, we are going to go out on a song that I just got into this band called Maestro Espada, and they're these two brothers from Murcia in Spain, and they are basically what they describe as like a like electronic analog hybrid of folkloric music. To get a little bit deeper, if you like music, if I kind of feel like it's like when Bjork was working with Matmos, and if Bjork was from Spain, this is the music that would be made. So this track is called Murciana, and it's from Maestro Espada. It's really dope. It's just different. Really dope music. So check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeart app, fucking Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them for free. Just go there. We'll be back later today to tell you what's trending. So we'll see you then. Later. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.